Okay, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission meeting for December 16th, 2015, the last one for the year, believe it or not. So with that, we'll have the roll call, please.
Bennett?
Here.
Burt?
Here.
Kapler?
Here.
Peters?
Here.
Rafferty? Stoltenberg?
Here.
Wendland?
Here. Okay, we had minutes from the last meeting.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move for approval of the minutes of the November 18th meeting.
I'll second that.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes from November 18th, 2015. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. The minutes are approved. Okay. So again, welcome to the Plan and Zone Commission. It's going to be a short agenda tonight. I do see a few people in the audience, so welcome. And if you have information relative to a particular case, if you either go to the podium to my right and your left back there and state your name and interest in the case at the appropriate time, we'd love to hear from you. And I know we're also going to have somebody up front talking about some county activities. We are an approving board doing recommendations approved by or appointed, sorry, by the city council. We do rezones, replats, things of that nature. And with that, we will begin. Greg.
Mr. Chairman, tonight we have a vacation of right-of-way that's involved in this particular issue that we're looking at as our agenda item. It's essentially part of Hopewell Avenue that was no longer needed. And you have this area right here, which is going to essentially, portion of this right-of-way will go to two lots in the 17th edition of Century Heights. The remaining portion will go up here. And this gray area is not indicated correctly. It should be the 80 feet that's going to go this direction to the Mason Run additions, and then a small portion going to both lots 4 and 5 of Century Heights 17th. And this better represents it. These two lots right here are the ones that will absorb the portion of the right-of-way. So essentially what you've got are these two lots taking the right-of-way this direction, and then the remaining part of this is in the undeveloped portion of Mason Run additions, and that will go to those additions. The final result is what you see right here. Dedication again to these two lots of this small portion of the right-of-way, the remainder to go over here to supplement all of these future lots. Staff, in reviewing this request by the petitioner, recommends approval of the vacation of this unused portion of Hopewell Avenue right-of-way. I would ask, are there any questions?
Questions from the commission? I have one, Greg. How was the determination made between the two lots in the west getting a little bit and then the rest going the other direction? Why not split it across all the way?
I can answer that, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Bill.
The property's going back to Mr. Fick, and I did bring him in. Obviously, we changed the route of where Hopewell Avenue was going to ultimately be paved. We had a discussion that a point in a lot does nobody any good. So you get to the first lot over there, lot number four, and you're looking at maybe 11 inches to 7 inches. Not maintainable. So I did contact the two adjoining property owners. They said they'd be happy to take the property. Mr. Fick's happy not to have a point that he has to deal with on a lot.
Great.
So that's how it all hashed out.
Okay, makes sense. Anyone else? Commission? Anyone in the audience with regard to this case? Nope. Okay, return back to the commission.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve case 15083, the vacation of the unused right-of-way of Hopewell Avenue.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second to approve case 15083, vacation of the unused Hopewell Avenue right-of-way. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. It's vacated. It's recommended it's vacated. All right. That then would take us to Scott County Ordinance, and Mr. Tim Huey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to introduce Ray Neese and Soria Neese. They have a lot of stamina because they Ray has heard this presentation in various forms of it about 9 times. Soria has actually heard it 1 time before, which I would have thought would have been sufficient. But I'd like to welcome them. Ray is the planning assistant for Scott County. So you see half the staff for Scott County Planning and Development here in front of you.
Okay.
But I'm happy to be here tonight. This is just a process that the Scott County Planning Commission has been going through for about the last year and a half. We're redoing our zoning ordinance. We're doing it in-house. So it's as time allows, so to speak. This is the one and only graphic I have in my presentation. As you know, PowerPoints with nothing but text are the most boring PowerPoints in the world, so that's what you're going to see tonight. But this representation really tells a story about Scott County planning and zoning, and that is that predominantly most of the rural Scott County is zoned ag preservation. In fact, so much of it is zoned ag preservation, we didn't even designate a color because we didn't want to waste the ink in the printer. So that's why it's all white. The gray areas, of course, are all incorporated cities that we have no jurisdiction over. But the green areas are our ag general, our holding zone until appropriate development is proposed. And then the yellow, of course, is residential, standard planning colors. And then the pink areas you see are really park view, a plan development that went in 1966 or 67. And then you have to look real carefully to see any commercial. So you can see most of the development that occurs in rural Scott County is residential, single family predominantly. But the purpose of this presentation is to give you some background on the proposed revisions, which also involve revisions to the comprehensive plan, because as you know, those two things work together. So you need a comprehensive plan that supports your zoning ordinance and gives the legal basis for the what's contained in the zoning ordinance. We've given the same presentation to both Davenport and Eldridge, and now we're happy to be here. The county, as I said, has had strict ag preservation land use policies since 1980, is when we adopted the first development plan. We've had zoning. We were the first county in Iowa to get to pass zoning back in the 40s. But then we adopted the current ordinance in 81, and that was a drastic change from buy land from any willing seller anywhere and build a house to no, you can't buy land and build a house where there's never been one. So it was a pretty drastic change. It's been in place now for, 35 years. So it's institutionalized. In 2008, in fact, when it was 28 years old, we said, gee, it's time to check it out and rewrite it. And we started every meeting saying, we're not here because we think anything's broken about our comp plan, but we're here because it is 28 years old. And we really renewed that 1980 comp plan for hopefully another 30 years. The four main goals are these, and they're word for word the goals that were in the 1980 plan. Protect and conserve the natural, human, and economic resources. Ensure orderly and efficient growth. This is all mom and apple pie type language, as most good goals should be. Ensure a decent home and suitable living conditions and encourage cooperation and communication among the county and other units of government. Hey, that's why I'm here. And when I say quad, you say cities. Quad.
Cities. Jeff, try one more time.
What's going on here? Come on.
I'm going to try one more time.
When I say quad, you say
cities.
Yeah, okay. And we all know we're stronger as the Quad Cities, marking ourselves as the Quad Cities. When I travel, I say I'm from the Quad Cities. And then you say, well, what are the four? Oh, it's a trick question. So in 2008, our policies were to encourage the majority of future growth to occur within the established cities. So that's I work with Jeff. I work with Davenport. We work with Rock Island, Moline, Quad City Chamber to encourage growth in the Quad Cities and in the appropriate areas. We encourage growth beyond municipal boundaries to locate on marginal ag land and where our future land use map says it should go. That was the green areas on the map I showed you where we've determined, okay, you might be able to build there if you meet our other criteria, on a paved road, you know, near other development, that type of thing. And we've been very successful. You know, most of the development that occurs within the county is residential, and almost all of it is either in Buffalo Township, Pleasant Valley Township, LeClaire Township, or Parkview. We discourage development from locating on productive agricultural land. We encourage the county and local governments to develop mutual agreements on preferred patterns. A couple years ago, when we started the first glimmer of this process, Davenport Planning Director Steve Van Dyke, who was the Economic Development Director at the time, John Dowd from Eldridge, came and presented to our Planning Commission to talk about what your plans were. Bettendorf said, we're office commercial. Davenport said, we're heavy industrial, light industrial, office commercial, whatever it is, bring it on. Eldridge, too, has done a real good job. South of the incorporated areas of Eldridge is industrial and commercial. The north areas are residential. So you want to keep those separate, and I think all the cities do a good job of land use planning. In 2012, my life changed. I had a gentleman named Ahmed El-Hoshi come to my office on a Friday afternoon with a gentleman I knew from Stanley Consultants, and they said, Tim, we want to put a fertilizer refinery right smack dab in the middle of rural Scott County on prime Scott County land. And I thought to myself, oh, I'm in a world of hurt. But they didn't come to me and say, where should we locate? They came to me and said, here's the 318 acres we've got in mind. What do you think? Well, it's not my job to send a $1.5 billion development packing on first blush, but I did tell them, this has got some pretty serious issues with it. They were also looking at a site in Lee County, which is unzoned, no zoning in Lee County, so they didn't have any of the issues that they had in Scott County. Well, the Planning Commission held a very contentious public hearing. The meeting room was packed. There were some in favor, but most of the folks there had strong objections. And the Planning Commission, on a 6-1 vote, overturned my recommendation to approve. Mine was based on the fact that it was a huge economic development potential for the county. The Planning Commission's recommendation was denied. It was really based on two things. Number one, ORSCOM never gave us enough information on what the project involved. And number two, it was on prime Scott County farmland, on land zoned ag preservation. So ORSCOM withdrew its application before the supervisors ever took action. And I don't know if you've been down to Weaver.
I have.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. I talked to the assessor in Lee County, and she says, I can't get anything out of these people. And I said, I hear you. So what we did is we kind of regrouped and took a look at our policies, and really following the ORSCOM, whether you liked it or didn't like it, whether you thought it was a good thing or should be approved or should go in Scott County, it made it clear to us we weren't ready for that type of mega-type proposal. Our land use policies were strictly focused on the preservation of prime farmland to the exclusion of everything else, which is great. And we want to direct development towards the cities, and we want to continue to do that. But we're thinking it might be a good idea to make allowances for what I call the 800-pound economic development gorilla. So we've worked for the last year and a half, along with other amendments to the zoning ordinance that haven't caused any controversy, nobody's had any questions about. It's just been stuff that I'm really happy to take care of, but it's, you know, it's really on the down low at this point, since the industrial proposal we're making is really the lightning rod. And it's the comp plan amendments are intended to establish the rationale why we're creating a floating zone. It's a floating zone that will essentially float over all the ag preservation land in Scott County and can plunk down anywhere. Well, that causes folks that live out there a great deal of concern, like, well, that's not planning. Well, it is, and certainly it's spot zoning, but spot zoning on its face isn't illegal. Spot zoning is only illegal if it isn't in accordance with your comp plan. So we want to make our comp plan the rationale for why industrial floating zone is appropriate. And we have 25 years of history with our ag service commercial floating zone, which hasn't been used a whole lot, but in the cases it has been used, it's been pretty successful. So what we're saying in our comp plan is, okay, we're staying the course. We want to direct development towards Bettendorf and Davenport. We want it, when it occurs in the county, to be on marginal land. We want it to be in accordance with our land use policies, except for these mega opportunities, these huge things. And so the IAP zoning regulations are intended to establish the type and extent of information that must be submitted with any application. And that was the other problem with ORSCOM, is they didn't have to provide all that information. They chose not to, because our industrial zoning that they were seeking would have required that they go then, once the zoning was approved, to the Zoning Board of Adjustment for a special use permit, because all the heavy industrial uses were special uses. Well, that presented us with the possibility that the board could take all the heat, approve it, and then the independent Zoning Board of Adjustment turn around and say, nope, doesn't meet the requirements, and turn it down. Our thinking now is, well, instead of waiting until it's going to the Zoning Board of Adjustment, let's get that all for the Planning Commission. You folks need that information to make your recommendation. Let's require it at the front end and say, make it clear what we need to know and why they need to locate out in rural Scott County before we even consider the application. And the purpose of these policies is to take advantage of significant economic development benefits for Scott County and the Quad City region. So this really has to be something that, you know, significant is one of those lawyer words that, well, one person's significant is another person's minor. But we also want flexibility, because this is going out into the future 20, 30 years. Well, who's going to say what type of development we're going to see in 30 years that's really good for the county and good for our economy? We want policies that will be able to fit at that time. But we also want to address, anytime you have a big development, you've got negative aspects to it. And we want to address the impacts on public infrastructure and, you know, smoke, noise, dust, dirt, odor, all that type of stuff. When the steel mill, IPSCO, went into Muscatine County, they only needed about 400 or 500 acres. They bought 2,000 acres. So they really bought their neighborhood. And they plunk the steel mill down in the middle, and they've got 1,500 acres of buffer. That's probably not going to happen in Scott County, because our land is so rich and valuable, and you don't always have a willing seller anyway. But I think that's a good example of a company that came in with a heavy industry but bought the neighborhood. Now, we do anticipate that the majority of the new industrial development will locate within the cities. Heinz Kraft is a good example of that. That's a large, significant economic development project, taking up about 70 acres, creating about 400 jobs. Of course, that's after they eliminate 1,500. But they're creating jobs. But they want to locate in the city. The GDRC and our industrial park wants to sell them the land. And it's land that currently is outside city limits, but it's being annexed. And Scott County has never opposed an annexation of adjacent unincorporated land into a city, as far as I know. In my 20 years, we certainly never have, and I'm not aware of any that we ever have. But we also recognize that there's rare opportunities for large-scale industrial development where the positive economic impacts outweigh the benefit of preserving that particular piece of prime farmland. When we made this presentation out at Neil Armstrong School in Parkview, or Walcott Elementary School in Walcott, or the Farm Bureau, for goodness sakes, I always paused here and said, now, if there's people in the audience that think that there's nothing that outweighs the benefit of preserving prime farmland, I can respect that, and you can purport that. And we've got a 25-year 30-year history of supporting that, but we're also a large urban county that needs to provide jobs and opportunities, and, you know, we want to be ready for this type of opportunity because they're so rare and they're so, such have such huge impact. But we also want to make sure that it's not used for just any run-of-the-mill industrial development, that they need to demonstrate why they have to be located outside city limits. They need to submit adequate site design and technical information so the Planning Commission can evaluate it, so the board can evaluate it, and so the neighbors know what's going on. They need to show whether they've got adequate roads or the capacity to upgrade those facilities. Again, the Heinz Kraft site. The city's getting a RISE grant to build the new road to the site, also to improve some of the county roads. And it's kind of funny. Davenport sought funding from the state DOT to improve a road that is essentially the responsibility of Eldridge and Scott County to maintain. But like we said, Scott County wants to cooperate with local governments on economic development. almost through here. I'm working through it. So when the economic benefits to the Quad City region due to the size and development type and number of jobs created and the amount of investment are significant enough that the project merits approval and review under these guidelines. So establishing the IF zoning district regulations doesn't zone anything IF. It just allows us the consideration at some point in the future when we get a development like that. But this broad language caused some of the folks concern. Some of my planning commission agreed that we really do need some objective criteria to give some guidance to the governing bodies and you folks as advisory bodies. And so we've added this in response to that. And while it's difficult to predict the nature and scope of such a large scale, these policies are intended to for such opportunities that would require significant amounts of land and buffer area. The jobs created would be of high quality and the majority at or above the median Quad City wage, and the capital investment would result in a 2.5% or greater increase in the taxable value of industrial land in Scott County, or any combination. Now, I didn't pull that 2.5% out of the air. I called the auditor's office. I said, can you send me the total assessed valuation of industrial land in Scott County, inside cities, outside cities, the top 10 assessed ones, and 2.5 would put you at number 8 on this list. And if you look at this list of 10, what, 7 or 8 of them have been here as long as I've lived in Scott County, and some of them, I mean, Alcoa, it's almost been here as long as I've been alive. John Deere, too. Olympic Steel, Bettendorf, that's relatively new. I note that all of these are located inside cities. So even if we do pass this floating zone, it may hopefully encourage a site selector to give us some consideration and then decide, we'd like to look at Scott County, but that complicated process Huey put together for an IF floating zone, let's go talk to Jeff Ryder at Bettendorf. I bet you he can help us. And I'll be happy with that. So that's how we got the 2.5%. We felt that was significant. But then we also said, or any combination thereof, to give us flexibility. So that project that was a huge investment, but maybe not so many jobs, or needs a large amount of land and a lot of jobs, but not that much assessed valuation, we could still consider it. I know that when a planning commission wants to recommend approval and a governing body wants to approve it, it's my job to find them the language in my policies that they can hang their hat on. And then when the neighbors come in and talk to me about how they pose it, I've got an ethical responsibility to help them find the language of why it's contrary. And we all know comp plans have language on both sides of projects. You know, you can find stuff to hang your hat on. So we don't intend these guidelines to be used for small-scale 20-acre used car lots or 50-acre, warehouses. We want them significant, and we hopefully the guidelines of both the comp plan and the language in the ordinance will do that. And so prior to the establishment of a floating district, they need to show the positive effects on the economy. They need to show how they're handling the negative effects, stormwater. All neighbors are concerned about stormwater runoff from new development, and rightfully so. Base flood, of course, and public health, safety, and welfare. I mean, that's the cornerstone of our powers to zone. And so prior to the establishment of the district, we want to see all this, the site plan information we want to see. And the approval of the site plan is actually a part of the rezoning approval. So we don't get to the end of an approved zoning process for a mega site like this and have any questions unanswered, hopefully. We're going to know where the parking lot is, where the stormwater retention areas are. We're going to know where the lighting is and things such as that. The standards and criteria, anything that the governing body deems appropriate and is soundly in public health, safety, and welfare, we can ask for. And it can be part of the approval process. Our next step, last night the Planning Commission said we picked an off date when they all seven could be there for the public hearing because they want to be there. We had 5 public comment meetings, 5 Tuesdays in a row, 1 at our normal meeting place and the other 4 in schools throughout the county. So I'm proud of the fact that the Planning Commission was willing to go out to the rural areas to where the people live that are really affected by this. And, you know, we heard a lot of comments, they were reasonably well attended. But the Planning Commission will hold its public hearing, won't take action that night by any means. We'll take it under advisement, and then at some point in February or late January or early March, we'll make a recommendation to the supervisors. Then the supervisors will have their public hearing, and of course, final action is theirs. So, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to try to answer them. If you belong to any service clubs that would like a presentation on Scott County's land use plan, I'm always happy to provide it. Last April, my previous assistant, who was out of the University of Iowa, this was his first planning job, Polk County hired him away from me. We put together a session at the National Planning Conference in Seattle on the long history of ag preservation in Scott County, and by golly, we do it strictly with police powers. What I tell my commission and the Farm Bureau, most counties that would have this strict of ag preservation would have to and generally do purchase development rights. They go out and compensate the farmers. Our farmers, as long as it's fairly enforced, as long as they know the guy to the west and the guy to the east, the guy to the north and the guy to the south can't sell their land for development purposes, they are supportive of this. City folks are supportive of it because they want to preserve farmland so we all have food. And the folks that already have their slice of heaven out there, they support it because, by golly, let's pull up the drawbridge and not let any more neighbors out there. We all know that feeling of folks, and you know, that's just a fact of life.
Any questions or comments from the commission?
Tim, I'm curious about this industrial floating zone. Where else in Iowa would we see that?
In Scott County, okay, with our ag service. Right. I'm president of Iowa County Zoning Officials. I've participated with them for 20 years. We have an active listserv where, you know, most of the people that are county zoning administrators in Iowa are rural counties. They have other hats. They're the assessor or the engineer. And so we get a lot of questions. And those of us from the six or seven larger rural or urban counties that are really planners by profession have a responsibility to help them. And so how do you handle wind towers? Or what do you do about wineries? We get those questions a lot. I can't think of anyone else that has a floating zone like this. Others may have different aspects of performance zoning, and that's where you don't establish setbacks. You just say, tell us what you want to do and how you want to do it, and we'll evaluate the impacts on the neighbor and whether it's a good thing or bad thing, and we'll see how it performs, as opposed to strictly Euclidean, where you say front yard's 50 feet, side yard's 10 feet. You know, that's your standard zoning.
So would it be accurate to say that this ag service has met the needs up until this 800-pound gorilla came along? And
oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I'm proud of the fact that how strict we've been able to stay the course. I mean, people come to me and their jaw just drops when they say, well, what's the minimum lot size for me to go out and buy a lot out in the ag areas? I said, there's no minimum lot size. They go, what's the maximum? I said, there's no maximum. You can't do it. Now, understand, under Iowa law, farmhouses, which can look an awful lot like a house, are exempt from county zoning and county building codes. I only wish the legislature would change that law, but, you know, I have to live with it. It's been that way since 48. So farmhouses are exempt from zoning. We do allow and have allowed since 1980 the old farmstead to be split off from the farm because they didn't want to set up the rules so strict that those places would go back to rack and ruin. So farmers, as they acquire more farms, you know, the 60, the 120s, the 80s, they can sell off that existing old farmhouse, make a little money, and then the person that wants the rural lifestyle can go out there, tear down that old house, build a new one. But it has to comply with zoning, has to meet building code. And so you do see new houses going up, but it's only under those parameters, either an ag-exempt farmhouse or a one-for-one trade. And if you have a five-acre farmstead that you think, geez, I got a place to build a house for my daughter, if Huey just let me split it, again, I had some folks that bought some land between Eldridge and Long Grove, and they thought they had a perfect place to build a house for their son, and I had to tell them no. I try to do it in a nice way. I try to explain what we're trying to accomplish. And they often support it, think it's a great idea to preserve ag land. They're just not crazy how it applies to them and their plants. Like, well, let me do what I want, but do that for everybody else.
Can you give us an example of the ag service?
Meyer Chemical out there by Maysville. And that was actually the reason we created it. I wasn't here. My predecessor did that. They said, we may have need for commercial zoned ag service businesses out in our ag preservation area. We don't necessarily want to put them through the same rigmarole that we would if they were wanting to do a Casey's. And we also don't want to rezone it for a fertilizer place and then later on have the guy go, oh, I'm not going to build that. I got some commercial land here. I'll sell it to Casey's. So it was specifically set up to approve the site plan at the same time. We've had a couple of anhydrous ammonia distribution centers that have come in under the same thing. In fact, we had one come in just after Orascom, and it was, I had to try and explain the difference between a 318-acre refinery and a 2-acre, 50,000-gallon distribution tank, you know, but can't always explain that well. Well, thanks. Really appreciate the opportunity, and I enjoy presenting to other planning commissions because I can assume a certain level of understanding of how comp plans and zoning ordinances work together. And I would encourage you, and I'm sure Bill would pay for it, when you have an opportunity to go to Gary Taylor's training sessions. He's from ISU Extension, does a real good job of kind of zoning 101 type stuff too.
Tim, we appreciate you coming in and taking the time to explain it. You know, we're in the middle of our own comprehensive plan redevelopment, redesign, and zoning rewrite. So it's kind of interesting to see how you guys are doing it, and appreciate the heads
well,
up.
And I've responded to the call when you were doing the park out there by the interstate. Steve Grimes right. asked me to be on the committee, and I went to a number of meetings on that. So Scott County walks the walk. The board gives me direction to go ahead and do stuff like that, and that's what I'm paid to do. And we really want to keep the Quad Cities together as the Quad Cities. I always wanted to hear Mayor Gluba say Quad Cities. He was always, and I understand he's elected by the citizens
he's
of Davenport,
Davenport,
but come on,
guy,
Bill,
yeah.
just say Quad Cities once in a while.
Okay, so here's the test. Quad
Cities.
All right. Thanks for coming, Tim. Appreciate it. All right. Bill, do we have updates for the commission?
We do, Mr. Chairman. City Council followed your wise recommendations on the Maple Glen 4th edition and approved that, and the planned unit development amendment to the third story to Building 2 at Kimberly Woods. Had a productive year, and we ask a lot of you this year with our comprehensive plan and our zoning ordinance rewrite. And you guys really stepped up and have been a big integral part of that, so I really appreciate it. Probably got another good 8 months ahead of us on the zoning ordinance.
Say that's not done yet, so yeah.
But thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill, and from and for on behalf of the commission, I would say the same thing. Great support and the staff. This year we've worked through several challenging developments, and we saw the benefit of taking them back with the developer, working through them, and coming to a very, I think, workable solution for both the developer and the city. So for that, we thank you as well. So with that, anything further for the order? We're adjourned.